Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I think my record, I forget, I always want to say it's 47, but I think it's 27 seconds to take this thing. It's so easy to set up and take down. It's so nice with the screens now and how it comes with workouts and things for the players to do. You will not be disappointed in it. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $400. You said it right. I went to them and I said, I got to take care of my people. $350 is not enough. You mentioned Coach Unplugged, and they'll give you $400 off your next purchase. So go over and check it out. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's what allows me to put this podcast out every day. And it's what allows me to put all the free resources and things I do out into the world. It pays the bills. So go over and check it out. 14-day free trial. It is the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It is everything that you need. You get my email address. You're able to contact me. You're able to jump in our office hours. You're able to find anything. If we don't have it, we'll find it for you along with a 14-day free trial. So go over and check that out. Also, we'd love if you love these podcasts. We'd love you if you went over and checked out High School Hoops or the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or the Funnel Down Defense Podcast. We'd love if you go check those out. We'd also love if you left a 5-star review. All right. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. And like I've said in the last probably 10, I've lost track of trying to count how many. But I'm super excited. This has been a work in progress. I know we've tried to do this at least one other time, Keith. Tried to connect and talk. Basketball talk, officiating a little bit, talk Alaska basketball, which really intrigues me a lot. It is also one of the two states in the United States that I have not been to. I've not been to Oregon, and I've not been to Alaska. I've been to every other state in the U.S. So it is on my bucket list when the world gets back to normal.
And sure. We're going to invite you out when the world gets back to normal.
When the world gets back to normal, I'm coming. I'm bringing my wife. I'm leaving. My son just graduated, but he's sticking around a year. How about that? He just graduated. He's going to take a gap year.
Right.
I don't want to go to sit in a room and take college, Dad. It's like, okay, we'll figure something out. Get a job. You know, you can mow my lawn, something. All right. So Keith, I'm going to have you introduce yourself, kind of tell your background a little bit, what you're doing now, all of that kind of stuff. And then we'll have Jason do it next. Go right ahead.
All right. My name is Keith Williams. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I've been in Alaska 24 years. Came up in the service and had a daughter and decided to stay. Got into coaching, you know, youth 4-year-olds on base. The commander's daughter and just
it grew how does there. That work? How does I bet she got a lot of playing time?
Yeah, absolutely she did. And she started, right? Got funding for the best uniforms. Just it was just incredible. I had the best orange slices. It was amazing.
Oh, I bet it was really good. It's like coaching the 4-star general. It's like, oh yeah, you're gonna play. Next. Yeah. I love that.
So from there, daughter got old enough to play, started coaching her all the way through middle school, and wanted a group of girls to travel outside the state of Alaska. to play in some sort of basketball competition. And created the team, the Alaska Vipers, even though we do not have any snakes. I'm sure that was one of your Alaska questions. We don't have any snakes in Alaska. But what a cool logo, right? So I got to run with it.
I mean, someone should just full-time name all the AAU programs. Like, literally, they pop up like weeds. So it's like everyone, you come up with a name, it's probably, yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
So from the Vipers, one of the young ladies on my team, the eighth grader, she's 6'3". Her name is Leah DePriest. She went to University of Denver and then transferred to Eastern Washington. Her old high school was looking for a coach. She submitted my name. The contacts came in, and I became the Palmer High basketball coach in Palmer, Alaska, which is, I mean, it's Mat-Su Valley, and Jason can explain this a little bit better when he introduces himself. And there's three schools in the Mat-Su Valley, and literally my school is a mile away from Colony. Would you say that, Jason?
About three or four.
Yeah. And then Wasilla, which is on the west end of town, I guess, is probably about another 5 miles away.
Okay. So first of all, I'm still stuck on the 6'3". So that's like a 6'9", 6'10" boy. Like, that's crazy tall girl.
Well, I had a 6'4", seventh. So she was in eighth grade. I had a 6'4", seventh grader. She plays for University of North Dakota.
Okay.
Right now. So she was a 6'4", stretch four at that time. And I wanted to put her in the paint, and she did not like being in the paint. So,
well, all the bigs think they're guards anyway. That's just the yeah. world they live in. They all think they're guards.
So that was really, really a treat, and started a program on the three tenets of scholarship, character. And we want kids of character and kids that are not characters, and community service, Special Olympics, set up the Heart Run, went to, I wouldn't say old folks homes, what's the correct term? Senior citizens. So we've done that, and just kind of stuck to those three things of service, scholarship. And when I say scholarship, I mean scholastic, like, are you a true student athlete? And that kind of just ingrained and got together with the principal at Palmer High School. And now I'm coaching at Palmer.
How big? First of all, your daughter. Where'd your daughter go to school?
Oh, so here.
Yeah, so you gotta talk about your daughter first.
My daughter is probably 5'10".
Okay.
And she ended up going to Kansas State University on an academic scholarship.
Okay.
So I had two girls. So starting five from that Viper team, one went to D2 track. One went D1 track at Liberty University, two played basketball D1, and then two got scholarships academically to Kansas State. They were best friends.
And okay, so a couple questions. First of all, what is the most common school that kids go to? University of Anchorage? Where do most kids
go? Jason can answer that question.
Yeah.
it depends on what sport. I would say that both University of Alaska Fairbanks and University of Alaska Anchorage are doing a pretty good job of recruiting locally, statewide.
Right.
As far as football goes, we have an all Alaska football camp in normal years that happens in June, which is a pretty big pipeline to some Division II, Division III NAIA schools in the upper Midwest. So Minnesota, Wisconsin area.
Yeah.
Valley City State probably gets a good chunk of football players from Alaska Division II wise. We've had some kids go to UNLV, University of Nevada, USC. We've had the gamut. We've currently got a couple players playing Division I basketball, one at Texas and one at Montana State.
Okay.
We've had kids go to University of Oregon and play.
My question is, do kids want to leave Alaska, or are they willing to stay? I mean, how is that? Because here's what I've noticed. I've taught for 30 years in Madison, which is the capital of Wisconsin. Very great city, gorgeous city if you ever can get a chance to see it. And, it's got lakes and it's beautiful. Anyway, I would say probably 60% of our graduating class stays within 2 hours of it, 70%. I was just wondering, I think, you being so, like, you're in Alaska, and then there's Canada, and then there's the rest of us. I'm just saying, it's like, do they want to come down to the continental? Do they want to stay up there? I mean, high school kids are unique in that way, I think.
I would say historically, you know, people want to get out of Alaska, right? They want to go, they want to see the big world. And I think contrary to popular belief, sometimes it's the little fish or big fish, little sea syndrome, where you're a really, really good player in Alaska, but we're very limited with our resources. And so they work really hard to, you know, it's D1 or bust. And sometimes those D1 scholarships don't come. And they won't satisfy themselves with an AAI scholarship or a Division II scholarship. And like I said, I think with the success, especially on the women's side right now that the University of Alaska Anchorage has been having, and the increased success of the men's program as well, I think that they're doing a really good job.
He runs some great stuff
locally. And like I said, Fairbanks is doing a good job too. Now we're running into some budget crisis stuff and possibly shrinking the University of Alaska system. So it's one of those where it kind of goes year to year.
You know what's scary is when Harvard, who has a $28 billion endowment, cuts 11 sports, you start worrying a little bit, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm reading the article. It's like it's Stanford, and then I think it's University of Texas, and then it's like all the Ivies have all this. I mean, their endowments are like they buy a small country, and they're cutting sports. So that tends to be a little bit of a worry. How big? So let's go back to how big is Palmer? How big is the high school?
So my high school is only a little less than 700. So we have the smaller high school of the three high schools.
Okay. And then how many do you have? One state champion in each sport? Do you have two? You have three? How does that work in Alaska?
There are four. We have four for basketball. We have four divisions. 4A is our largest with, I believe, 22 schools.
Okay.
And then 3A, 3A, 2A, and 1A.
And how small is 1A?
1A is your outlying village schools where they might have a boys team one year, but they might not have a boys team the next year. They also do get a waiver from the Alaska School Activities Association to play eighth graders. And I don't know if you remember this, but I think it was 2 years ago, there was an eighth grader playing and was averaging 35 points a game for one of the 1A schools. So I think that they cap at about 100 students. And I think there's 130 1A schools, but not all of them offer boys and or girls basketball in the same years.
Right. Cause it's like, well, yeah, it's like small towns in northern Wisconsin too. It's like, exactly. So yeah. How is your state doing right now? I haven't followed Alaska as far as the pandemic.
We're going full bore as much as possible. The kids have to sign in every day.
Okay.
We have no limit on the number of kids that we can interact with, but we still have to have the social distancing
and stuff. I just didn't know. I know Hawaii really isolated themselves. Have you guys isolated people coming in and out?
There's either a mandatory 14-day quarantine if you come in. If you don't want to take a test, you can come in with a negative test within 72 hours of landing in Anchorage or any of the local airports, or you can take the test at the airport. And I think that there are seven communities that offer the testing right then there at the airport, and you get the results. It's varying. I actually returned from a little vacation and I got my results in 30 hours.
Okay.
But I've heard some people, you have to get a second test within 10 to 14 days.
Yeah.
And I've heard some people get their second test results before they even get their first test results back.
That's crazy. No, I just wondered if that, because my phone just dinged and I looked over and it basically said California just called off all sports. The state of California just called off all fall sports for high school.
Yeah. Wow. They announced earlier this morning, the CIF had announced that they were pushing football to 2021. So I think they're going to start in
March.
Maybe? Yeah, March, and basketball is going to start in March. So they're going to have a late, you know, their state championship will be near the end of the year, end of the school year.
Yeah. So CIF said that?
Yeah, and I think now they're one of 22 one of 22 states now who have either postponed or and or delayed fall sports for the start of the 2020 year.
It's the stats teacher in me. It's called you can see the dominoes just kind of falling.
So Steve, that's funny you should say that because McCourt is a math teacher.
Okay, what do you teach? So,
eighth grade math, pre-algebra, algebra, and geometry.
I'm making, for those of you that are listening, this is going to go on YouTube too, I'm making a cross sign. I student taught at a middle school. I walked out of the middle school. I dialed the phone. That's when there was like, I had dialed the phone to my parents and said, I'm not teaching middle school. I can't do this.
I mean, so I'm a migrant. Okay. I'm a migrant ed instructor and my kids, my hiring kids are in Jason's class. So I'm typically in Jason's class probably 70% of the day. And Jason and I just go back and forth. It's comedy hour, Steve.
Oh my God. You guys, I tell people, middle school teachers should be paid more than any human being on the face of the earth. Because the amount of energy in that building, you could light up the United States with the amount of energy in a middle school. I don't know how you social distance a middle schooler.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
It's going to be hard. Our district is one of the districts in this coming year who is going what they're calling full green, meaning we're going back all in our school, 600, 700 plus kids. Keith, the high school that he coaches at will, be the same way. Masks are not required, but encouraged. There's going to be some safety precautions, CDC guidelines and stuff, but they're thinking that everything's going to be just A-okay. And, you know, as well as I do, I mean, kids just don't want to be not next to each other.
No, I don't remember where I read this article. It was, I think it might've been the Washington Post or something. They basically said from about 14 to about 22, their brains are wired to take risks and do that. Our job is to teach them the proper way to channel that. And it's like, there's no way you're going to social distance like a 19-year-old in college either. It's like, are you kidding me? There's no way. Like, you give them a little freedom, they're going to run with it. All right. So here's one of the questions I wrote down on my list is, so do you only play in your area? Cause Alaska is a big state and you're not driving to games on a yellow bus, are you?
So I'll start. No, I'll let Jason go first, and then I'll come in behind Jason. Go ahead, Jace.
So in Alaska, we often like to joke that to upset people in Texas, we would like to cut Alaska in half and make Texas the third largest state, just so you can visualize how large Alaska really is. There are 8-hour bus trips. There are 6-hour bus trips. There are 15-minute bus trips. There are plane trips. There are ferry trips. Pretty much any way that you can get to a game, schools in Alaska get to those games.
And how do they, are they little charter planes? How do they fly kids to, that just boggles my mind.
Some are little 28 passenger Otters. Some are De Havilland Dash 8s that'll hold 40 or so. And some are actual 737s that are seating 200 passengers.
So Steve,
I'm just trying to figure this out because, okay, so I'm in a metropolitan area. I'm 2 hours from Chicago. I'm an hour from Milwaukee, two really big cities. I just know public education's under, I have problems getting a yellow bus to go 15 minutes. I mean, oh my gosh, where does the money come from? First of all, I mean, that can't be cheap.
It isn't. We fundraise. We have booster clubs, probably some of the top booster clubs in the United States, and we get money from the school district. We can't take everybody on the team. So that's from a coaching aspect, that's pretty hard because I might get the email that says, hey, we've budgeted 8 girls to go to. Well, 8 through 10 are basically kind of the same. So how do I tell 9 and 10 they can't go? And then, you know, they get the feeling some kind of way. And it's just it just makes it harder for coaching in Alaska when it comes to that aspect. We're sleeping in classrooms on air mattresses and sleeping bags. We're taking cold showers wherever we can. We're eating as best we can. You know, we're paying in a village, as Jason says, you're paying somewhere between $15 to $20 for a gallon of milk. $25 probably for a gallon of milk. A box of cereal, Jason's what, probably $15?
Probably eight to ten. You know, if you're gonna buy generic.
Okay, so my jaw just dropped because I'm in the dairy state. I could probably drive 5 miles and find a cow and start milking it. And I'm in a town of 300,000. Doesn't take that long to get to the farmland outside. That's crazy. Yeah, that's like it's like Hawaii. Like I've been to Hawaii, and everything in Hawaii is because everything's got to be flown in. It's probably similar to you guys. Everything that's not or has to be transported from point A to point B. How big are conferences?
Well, mine is Wasilla, Colony, Kodiak, which is its own island, and that's a flight. So you each time you go, you play Kodiak, it's you're praying, right? Because you normally get in, but it's really, really hard to get out for whatever reason, due to the weather.
Especially if you beat them, they might not let you leave.
So we go down to Kodiak and we'll have to rent we'll have to stay in a house and I'll have to stay in a hotel, but the girls get to stay in a house and I'll make sure that I feed them and we play 2 games. The villagers, when they play 2 games, they play 2 games in the afternoon, they eat dinner, and then they play again in the evening because they're transportation. So the villagers get together, they'll cook everybody a meal in between both those games. So they're playing 2 games in 1 day, whereas I'll play a back-to-back on a Friday and in an early, depending if we can get a flight out on Sunday and then it costs extra to stay in a hotel, or do we play early and then we get the girls together and we try to fly out on Saturday because we don't want to play that extra night. So it's just, I mean, there's a lot of things in coaching in Alaska that
it's like unique. You're a college coach. You need a graduate assistant to do all your travel stuff. God.
And then sometimes the team mom and the AD don't see eye to eye on the number of people that can go or how many we have in budget and this, that, and the other. So I need
but football can't do this.
Ooh, go ahead, Jason.
Every sport does. The Peninsula Conference is about a 700 to 800 mile trip from the northernmost school to the southernmost school. Barrow has a football team. It was featured on Football in America. They had a booster somebody down in the lower 48. That did some fundraising, gave them some money, and they actually built a turf right on the peninsula. It's surrounded by water. They have people on polar bear watch during the games. It's a very, very unique. It's a blue turf, like much like Boise State.
Right.
And they will travel as far south, like I said, about 700. It's about an hour and a half flight to their southernmost game.
I'm still stuck on the 800 miles because I can literally leave Madison, Wisconsin, and almost make it to New Hampshire in 800 miles. It's a little over 1,000, but that's a long way.
And I think that's the most unique thing about sports in Alaska is every trip is a travel trip. Now Anchorage, you know, you obviously have, like Keith said, within a 12-mile radius, you've got Colony, Wasilla, and Palmer, who all play in the same conference. But to get to Kodiak, it's an hour bus ride to Anchorage, and then hope and pray that you might get a flight out. And I have heard and also have been part of flights where you'll take that hour flight, you'll get off the ground, you'll circle Kodiak for 25, 30 minutes, hoping that the weather breaks, then you got to fly the hour back to Anchorage and wait it out in the airport. It's It's
and why tough. Is the weather so where's Kodiak? Why is the weather so bad getting to Kodiak?
So Kodiak is right in the northern part of the Gulf of Alaska, the southern part of Cook Inlet, and it just has a weather system that comes in from the Gulf. The you know, if you've ever watched any of any of the Bering Sea Gold, and yep, you've seen those shows where they just talk about the rough seas in that Bering Sea, the wind and the weather patterns come out of the Aleutians, but they just funnel right back up into the inlet, and it has to cross Kodiak. So it's either windy, rainy, or really, really nice.
And how many people live in Kodiak?
I would conservatively say maybe 10,000 or so. And it's also a Coast Guard base. So you've got a transit.
Okay. Cause I was wondering how do people make a living in Kodiak other than maybe fishing?
Fishing.
Okay.
Yeah. So most of the shipping, most of the ships that you see on the Alaska based shows, Deadliest Catch. Many of those are stationed out of Kodiak, some out of the Homer area, very, very similar weather patterns and such.
Okay.
But at least they're also known for their guided grizzly bear hunting trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which those guys make a lot of money to guide.
Oh, I bet you that's crazy. What about the little villages? I would be more scared about the little puddle jumpers than the little I guess not. Maybe you could land in water if you have one of those kind of planes.
Oh, there's no water in the winter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's all ice for a village. Yeah, it's all ice. It is definitely all ice and snow.
So your travel may be to say from Anchorage, if you're going to go to Bethel or Dillingham or to Nome, the end of the Iditarod, you're going to take a 737 jet there. And if you're going to any of the outlying villages, say White Mountain, which is one of the Iditarod stops, you may snow machine there. You may take a dog sled there. You might might be able to find a little plane and take the 15-minute flight there. But if you're going to do that, you're probably only going to pack maybe three or four people in, so you're going to have multiple flights going back and
forth. Oh, that's crazy. And then where's the state tournament held? Where's everything? Where does the end of the season occur?
Well,
in Anchorage.
It's in Anchorage, yeah. Football, basketball.
And how many teams come in for that?
Eight on the 3A, 4A side. And then 2A, 1A, maybe 16?
It's eight boys, eight girls, 2A through 4A. And then the 1A schools, because there's, like I said, there's 120 some odd teams, they actually bring 16 teams in for both boys and girls. On Wednesday, they do the play-ins. So the eight winners from those games advance to the what they call the championship bracket. And then the eight losers play essentially a consolation state tournament. Because the travel is such an expense that you don't want to come down and play two games and lose both games and have to travel back. It's just not cost effective. So at least they can travel them down on a Tuesday. They can get a game. They can get a day of practice in, walkthroughs, etc. The playing games on Wednesday, and then they're guaranteed two more games, so they're at least playing through Friday.
Okay. So I've gotten. I think I've wrapped my head around how the games occur. Where do the officials come from? I mean, I swear to God, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
That's a great question.
Is it the dad of the starting center that's officiating? Cause I mean,
depends on where you go. It might be, it might be a teacher, the JV coach and a parent. Hey, we're short an official. We need somebody who wants to come down and run tonight. We do have certified officials in the state of Alaska. We're pretty big on networking as far as when you're living in the big city, and I'll work as many games in one week as some officials might work in an entire season. You know, you in these smaller schools, the smaller villages, they may only have three home games. And so so they're very, very limited again with the travel and expenses and stuff. So it becomes quite the, I guess for lack of a better word, you have to become very ingenious on how you get your training and everything. But
hey everybody, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Also, subscribe and like. We do appreciate those. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.